wants to warm up. Let's warm up.
Hello and welcome to Liberty Southwest podcast number 46. The date is February 25th, 2015. This week we dive into both sides of the vaccine debate. I am joined by Eric Taylor, Danny Ning, Kirk Pettis, Chelsea Como, and I am Matt Winter. Today, the illustrious Chelsea Como will take us away.
Oh, hello. There's been a big debate recently. We're seeing more and more people choosing not to vaccinate their children, and then we're also seeing the ensuing outrage of those who have been vaccinated. So we figured we should give the roundtable discussion on, you know, vaccination, whether, you know, we believe that people have the choice on whether or not to vaccinate, or if mandatory vaccination is justified in terms of being required for, you know, public health and safety at large. So very appropriate for a liberty-based podcast. And it sounds like we've got people on both sides of the issue here tonight. So who would like to take it away?
Well, I have a question for the group who gets their vaccinations regularly.
Nope.
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 We got a lot of liberty loving people. Obviously, all five of us are, wouldn't say, well, we just don't get vaccinations regularly.
I didn't expect that, actually.
Yeah.
Regularly, when's the last time you've had one?
Oh, very long time.
Yeah, I can remember the last time, actually. It was 6 years ago.
Why'd you get sick?
What was it for?
No, my company was giving away free flu shots, and I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I tried that. I tried that once, and, you know, it might have been psychosomatic or not, but I felt sick for a couple of days after.
Oh, yeah, so did I. That's why I haven't done it in 6 years.
Yeah, I was like,
no, then again, I caught the flu this year, so I don't know. Is that okay? I'm not sure.
Well, it could be like a vaccination in a way, right? You got the antibodies now from a real strain.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, now I can take on any flu that's that exact strain.
Well, and that's been one of the arguments for anti-vaccination. Some sides say that, well, if you actually do get the sickness and survive, then you are immune to that, you know, for the rest of your life, because that's, you know, the way our immune systems work. You build up the antibodies in your system, versus vaccinations where you have to go and get essentially like revisions to them. I forget what the specific name. Do you guys know? They're like updates. It's sort of like system update for Windows. It's like a vaccination update.
Just a yearly vaccination, like the flu, for example, right? Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, because you go. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the logic behind the flu shot. Is the strains change, so you get a new, you know, you get a new flu shot. You know, the point of a vaccination is you take on some of the strain, whatever you're trying to prevent from, you know, infecting you, and you build up, you know, an immunity, and hopefully you don't get it. So is that what you mean? Kind of the same thing as, you know, if you're to talk about measles vaccinations or polio vaccinations, you'd if or Ebola, if it changes, the strain changes, then you'd get that quote unquote update. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was part of it. But I guess one of the biggest things that I wanted to talk about this was just the idea that the government could, you know, require you to put a vaccination into your body, so that they would require you to put a chemical into your body. And is that their place to do so?
Do you think that will ever be a realistic possibility of something like that happening?
Well, I mean, they certainly will mandate it. If you want to send your child to public school, you have to have certain vaccinations. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have allowed for certain exemptions based on, you know, religion. But the idea that, you know, and most people can't afford to, you know, do anything other than public school. So the idea that the government can say, no, we're requiring you, you know, to stick these chemicals into your child, It seems like an overreach of government to me. And then, you know, an infringement upon, you know, my body or my child's body to say what we will or will not put into it.
You know, I think we should pass laws saying that our kids have to be vaccinated.
Seriously?
No, I don't, but we're very one-sided right now, and I'm trying to spike some controversy.
Okay. Well, okay, this is the part that I don't really understand about the people that seem to be really outraged about, you know, people not getting vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, well, the idea is that you're fully protected against the disease. So even if you come across someone who isn't, they're of no threat to you if this vaccination actually works, right? And the idea, you know, from the point of view of this person that's been vaccinated is that they're protected. Mm-hmm. So why does it bother them if somebody else chooses not to get vaccinated?
Principle?
Oh.
I mean, maybe just they don't want to see people get infected. It's a good question. If you're, you know, maybe I haven't seen this, but maybe the thought process is strains can mutate and they could get infected. I haven't seen that, but that to me would, you know, because, you know, strains of virus is the more they get out there, the more susceptible to mutation strains can become, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, a lot of the research I did, the big topic was all about herd immunity.
Right.
So the idea that if there's just tiny little pockets of people interspersed amongst the population that aren't vaccinated, but the majority of people are, that essentially prevents the transmission of the disease because those, you know, tiny little pockets of people who aren't vaccinated benefit from the rest of the people that are vaccinated. So there's not enough carriers. There's not enough vulnerable people to pass along that disease or to create an epidemic. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, which it's, you know, I get that. So they're kind of saying like, hey, you guys are freeloading off my vaccination. You know, but I mean, really to force someone to put chemicals into your body, I think you need, I personally believe you need a little bit more than, hey, you're freeloading off of my vaccination. Well, no, because they could have better, you know, just overall personal hygiene, you know, that maybe you're freeloading off of just for things like the common cold, for example. Like, hey, you're freeloading off the fact that I wash my hands after I go to the bathroom, you jerk. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I was under the impression that we had people on both sides of the debate here. Where are those pro-vaccination people?
Pro-vaccination?
Yeah.
Do you have a crickets thing queued up here?
I can probably find one. I mean, but when you're, I can take a pro side. Vaccinations have helped out. You know, even if you look back over the past 100 years, there's, you know, polio used to be a pretty debilitating, you know, virus. The vaccine was found. It's almost been completely eradicated. I think Kirk may want to talk about Bill Gates' effort to completely eradicate polio, and there was some skepticism behind that. Then, of course, what's been in the news lately is measles, right? It's a pretty, you know, some people believe it's a pretty, you know, debilitating disease and has been, for the most part, you know, brought under control. Mm-hmm. You know, there certainly are, you know, positive examples of vaccinations taking place. I think some of the skepticism, you know, one of which, you know, one big piece of skepticism for recently is the autism piece, which I'm not ultra familiar with. I don't know, Kirk, are you kind of familiar with how the autism kind of links in with vaccinations and how some vaccination skeptics view that?
Well, what a lot of the stuff that I hear is mm-hmm. It causes the brain swelling in the brain and high temperatures, which can trigger changes in the, I would, you know, I don't know if it'd be necessarily DNA, but just know how the brain and the body functions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard actually, I've kind of followed the whole, autism thing. And that science was refuted, I think, pretty heavily. Just go out there and see, they weren't able to, duplicate. There's a difference between correlation and causation. And that's when the big mistakes that's often made in science, to say there's a possible correlation and then, to take it one step, to take it too far and say this might cause this, when there's no really evidence to support that.
I see the complete opposite.
I think this was a fear-mongering, scenario, making people afraid of vaccinations.
Why would people be opposed to, to go out of their way and claim that kind of stuff?
Well, this isn't the first time this has happened, even in U.S. history. This happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s as well. We had people that, said, this is trampling on our, personal liberties. It was sort of on a state-by-state basis where they were requiring vaccinations. And people, then stood up and said, hey, this is against our personal liberties to choose whether or not to do this. And so you had, both sides, one side saying, hey, look at, all the good things vaccinations do and the potential risk to public health by people not being vaccinated. And then the other side had their own, propaganda as well, putting the fear into people about the dangers of immunization. And now there are valid concerns on both sides as far as, I've seen it. We've seen that there's been a huge eradication of some diseases that used to be very debilitating, rubella, polio, measles,
cholera.
But then we have also seen, bad batches of vaccinations. We've seen people die because of vaccinations. We've seen people get sick because of vaccinations. So there are dangers on both sides. But I believe that then because there are dangers on both sides, it should be left to the individuals and, the parents to decide whether or not they want to take, a vaccination or not.
Chelsea, could you show me a study? I mean, where do these studies come from? All I ever hear is that, they have done it. They're all just claims that, the study's been out there. The scientists have do it. What I know is don't you think that if the CDC comes out and purports that there's no link between the vaccinations and autism, that and they say they did the study, they would release the study? Does it take a politician to connive his way in to make sure the process of the Freedom of Information Act get processed to obtain those files and the manners to duplicate their study? All I ever hear from everyone is just these random facts thrown around that are totally meaningless without any adequate study done with an adequate scientific basis.
But these vaccinations have to go through the FDA approval process, right? I mean, they have to go through clinical trials and be formally approved.
And do you know how they do that?
Not an FDA. I do have.
There's plenty of people that go along with it because that's the process that they have to do. But then there's plenty of people that say it's total hocus pocus, that doesn't really prove anything, and that it's a way to just find, discover the really bad ones. And I don't know. There's just the process is a muddled process and tied in with secrecy. And most of the stuff you can't even begin to refute because you can't even get the hard facts and the scientific means of doing so.
Right. And I don't disagree with you there. I think that it should be transparent. And I think that's, a big piece of people being able to make an informed decision about whether or not they want a vaccination. And I think that all of that information should be clear cut so that we can do the research on our own and get a good grasp of what we feel like the realistic risks and rewards are of making that decision. And then at the end of the day, it being our decision. So I'm in total agreement with you there. I just, you know, heard that some of this, you know, speculation about the vaccinations leading to autism was a little far-fetched. And to just backtrack one second to the whole thing about how vaccinations have to be approved by the FDA. Well,
CDC, excuse me.
I'm not the biggest fan of the FDA to begin with. I mean, we've seen them allow things in this country that have basically been banned throughout the world, like Red Bull, is extremely horrible, you know, to ingest. I mean, almost every single, you know, first and second world country in the rest of the world has banned it. But, you know, the FDA still allows it. I mean, we've seen many things that are really not good for us that they've allowed through, like the NutraSweets that can be linked to cancer. And we see like fluoride that's still in our water. So I don't know that I would rely on them necessarily keeping their eye on the ball every single time. I think that there's moneyed interest making sure that things pass or don't pass with that organization, but I might be a lone wolf there.
It's a corporatism fascism mixture is the way I look at it. Anyone that goes against it, they threaten lawsuits, defamation, revoking of license to practice medicine. And I just, to me, it's just hilarious, really. I mean, how adamantly they deny that there's no facts out there of autism linked to vaccines when that is, there's so many countless cases of that happening left and right that it's.
Oh, no. Okay, you know what? I'll ask you to show me the facts on that.
I have a family member, for one.
Well, that doesn't necessarily make you an expert.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's examples. I can't.
No.
That's my whole point, though. You get spun into the argument of, oh, that's not scientific. Well, show me the other scientific means that's being done by the specific people that produce the vaccines. Give me a bit break. You don't think that's a conflict of interest?
Can you prove that the autism is related to vaccination, though? Just because you have
I can prove by just by the numbers of people that come forth that say my kid was fine until I had the vaccinations. They come home and they're never the same again.
Well,
story after story after story. The only way to do a scientific test in that is to take the data and. And if you don't find a correlation, and then when the governments do their own private hidden studies, and then they say that, oh, we proved there's no link, and then we even have a CDC whistleblower, senior scientist, that came out and said that he admits that the CDC was actively covering up links to the autism while they were producing the study, and it's yeah, it's just one thing after another, and I just do not believe that it's all hearsay that there's this lack of correlation between the two. When there's
correlation is different. There might be correlation, but not causation. See, that's the key difference. There may be correlation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's causation. So that's the key difference.
But I think it's a lot more accessible reasoning than just blindly trusting a bureaucratic and conglomerates that produce the vaccine and produce their own results that make it so-called safe to use. Which right. who's to say that it's ever even effective? Who's to say that these vaccines have really actually stomped out this stuff? When a lot of the vaccines, just on the warning label, say that they will cause exactly what they are is preventing, supposedly. And then, when you go back, all I hear from doctors and pharmaceutical companies is that vaccines are the greatest gift to man ever, the biggest scientific development. I say total bullshit to that. The best developments is a freaking water tower, is piping, is a sanitary sewer system. that made the biggest difference, and it continues to make the biggest difference in the world well before vaccinations have ever came into being. And it's on a total downward tread from us actually sanitary living conditions. And
I agree with the sanitary living conditions. And I guess the whole thing, I don't want to get too consumed with whether, you know, vaccinations do cause this or don't cause this, but I think the whole focus, you know, really should be on, you know, liberty and whether or not people get to make those choices. So, Kirk, I believe that you have every single right to say, I don't want vaccinations. I don't want my kids to have vaccinations. I don't trust them for X, Y, or Z. And for you not to be forced, or forced into forcing your children to have them, you know, and for whatever reason you believe you don't want them, if it's, you know, for a justified reason, an unjustified reason, I think that you have every right to say, no, I don't want these. Or, and then I think another family, if they say, hey, this is something we want, let them go for it. I think that's what we really should focus on is whether we have the right to decide what we put in our body.
And I would never argue against that.
Of course, right? Because your idea is to say, you know, I don't want these vaccinations. And I am of the firm belief that you should have every right to choose that.
Oh, what I like to talk about this is just the blatant, obvious aspect of the pure propaganda being shoved down the public's throats. And it's a constant spin that unvaccinated, you guys talked about this already, that unvaccinated people pose a risk to vaccinated people. And then they say, oh, well, how about it's a risk to themselves then? If the vaccines are so useful, then it's a risk to themselves not getting vaccinated, not as much the people you come in contact with. Give me a break. And then they bring forth these random, very small percentage of stories talk about the harmful effects of vaccines, it's, oh, that's just a low percentile of people that have adverse effects and they should have known better, and they shame people for it. But then when they're talking about how they do it, it's, oh, there's this one case, like, we bring up this one case, look what happened here, which is probably far less percentile of an occurrence than the harmful effects of the lower percentile of vaccines.
So, Kirk, do you think that vaccines shouldn't really be a discussion point, that there's really no point in vaccinations and, you know, at all?
I have no problem with people wanting to do it, but I think there should be more. I think it should be the complete opposite. I think it does more harm to society than the benefits.
even if you talk about, you know, if you look back, there's been some, you know, into your point, can be skeptical as to whether or not they're actually, you know, or the epidemic was contained or whatever by vaccinations. But you can, you know, look back even over just keep it within the last 100 years or so. And like, you know, Chelsea mentioned, you can look at cholera, polio, hepatitis B,
tetanus,
HPV. That's a controversial one, I think. That's one that I think is there's some skepticism on that. Isn't there, Chelsea, on the HPV vaccine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what risk, but I believe that there were certain types of cancer that were maybe associated with it.
With HPV? Well, there's cancer.
No, that's what it's supposed to block is cervical cancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, HPV could be a precursor to cancer.
To the cancer,
women,
but I remember hearing something about, you know, adverse effects. I can't remember what it was, though.
Yeah. So
I think that, you know, whenever we are, you know, manipulating the natural chemicals in our body, there's a chance for positive effects and negative ones, you know, and it's sort of the whole, you know, swallowing the spider to catch the fly. So maybe we've, you know, gotten rid of the fly, but now we've got this spider to deal with. In some cases, you know, maybe the risks or the negative effects are very low as compared to the potential benefit. And in some cases, you know, that ratio is flip-flopped. But I think that it's up to each individual to say what they want to risk for their own body. You know, or, you know, the health or wellness of their children. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that would say, no, this is about the safety of the public at large. But if you're of the, you know, of the population that is for vaccinations and you're getting vaccinated, then this doesn't pose a risk to you. So I don't understand how they could be concerned about their own health if they have been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at some level, I can understand proponents of vaccines. I mean, it's kind of like people who are clean freaks, who are meticulously clean, they have a tendency to get sick more often, right? Because they're not exposed to the same bacteria, you know, infections, viruses, and that type of thing. They have a tendency to be more frail and more sick. You know, it could be, you know, combination of psychological and physiological, because they're keenly aware of getting sick. People who are generally not as concerned about that are healthier. And the idea of, you know, injecting maybe a small amount of a certain disease or virus into your body that, you know, isn't going to, you know, be detrimental and can possibly protect you from, you know, from a virus or disease, to me, you know, at a physical level, it makes sense. And I don't, you know, I personally don't see anything to be overly concerned with. I think the concern that a lot of anti-vaxxers have is what else is being added to those vaccinations, like mercury or, you know, other additives that can cause harm. I think that even gets into the, when you're talking about autism or that debate, it's the concern about the other stuff that pharmaceuticals put in the vaccines. Isn't that kind of where the debate really heats up?
Absolutely. I mean, I would be concerned if, you know, these people are saying, we're requiring all children to have this if they're going to enter public schools, and I can't, as a parent, say what exactly is in this that you want to put in my child. I would want to be able to verify it, and unfortunately, not having, you know, all the medical equipment to be able to test whatever chemical this is, I have to have this blind trust that there's not anything else added in there that might be harmful. And that's where I think it gets to be pretty scary for parents.
Lack of transparency.
Yeah, there's that lack of transparency of knowing, like, okay, what are you asking me to put into my child?
Yeah, and to me, that's the crux of the debate. You know, if I don't, you know, I don't see anything wrong with building up a natural immunity to something, but I do see, you know, to what Kirk was speaking to, you know, if there are other ingredients in there that are causing harmful side effects, you know, these companies should be held accountable. And, you know, you should, I think every person has a basic right to know what they're ingesting to, you know, to protect themselves. To me, it's somewhat of a consumer safety and transparency issue more so than, you know, because you're going to, that's the thing, you are taking a bit of a risk, which is why I choose not to get vaccinated for the most part, because you could get sick from what you're ingesting. So it is, I mean, there is, and I don't know, I think most people understand, you know, the basic process that you are taking on what you're trying to fight, and there's a chance that you could get sick. I mean, that should go without saying, I think, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know people that get the flu vaccine that, you know, get the flu from the vaccine. And for me, it's like, well, I'll take my chances instead, and I'll just make sure that during flu season I'm washing my hands, I'm being cognizant of, you know, if I'm touching my face after touching a hand railing in a busy spot, you know, doing things like that where I feel like I can control that a little bit more and just be aware of, you know, my personal hygiene. And if I know somebody's sick, you know, keeping distance, things like that, as opposed to saying, well, there's a chance I could get the flu if I don't get the vaccine. But there's also a chance I could get it even if I do get the vaccine. So for me, I'm like, oh, I'd rather just not get it.
How about this solution? So how about if we take more vaccines? So if I like do the HPV, you know, that prevents cervical cancer, but then I get the flu, you know, I'll take the flu shot. And then, you know, if that'll stop me from having the flu. And if the flu gets me erectile dysfunction, I'll take Viagra and, you know, kind of do this whole cycle thing going. And then pretty much I'd be invincible, right? Is there an argument for that?
There certainly is. But then when, and this is something, and I don't know if we want to go too far down this road, but with all of these different pharmaceuticals, whether it's Viagra or whether it's something for a heart condition, I mean, at the end of all those commercials, if you listen to the laundry list of possible side effects, I mean, like a heart attack, blood clot, you know, death, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, well, I had, you know, mild discomfort when I peed, but now I might die, you know. But, hey, that's worth it.
The know? Only thing that I just heard was that if I take Viagra, I'm going to be invincible.
Hey, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, right?
It must.
Yeah, but that's if it doesn't kill you, right? That's yeah. Quite a conclusion.
I've got mercury inside me. I've got aluminum. Hey, you know, I'm a walking metal.
No, I think they see DC.
Eric, you brought this up earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's say you feel like you had an adverse effect of a vaccine. Mm-hmm. What would you do? How would you go after the pharmaceutical company?
I've had the adverse effect. I think I talked about, we talked about this. I had a flu shot. I felt like I got the flu. I chose not to do it again. I'm not, you know, in general, I myself, I'm not really a litigious individual. If it doesn't, you know, stopping short of severely, you know, damaging me, I'm not going to take action. But I will, you know, look at, you know, the positives and negatives to, you know, any, you know, situation. So when we're talking about viruses, when I heard of the measles outbreak, I wasn't compelled to get a measles vaccination. When I see that, you know, rates of flu rise, I'm not compelled to get a flu vaccination. When you had the Ebola outbreak, and I think there is a vaccination that will be coming out, I'm not going to get an Ebola vaccination, nor will I get a polio, or HPV, or, you know, anything, you know, along those lines. And for me personally, there is more of a risk to getting the vaccination than there is a benefit. That's how I grade it out. And I think, you know, really, Kirk, I think that's what you're essentially, when you get down to it, that's what you're saying is, you know, there is more of a concern. And I, you know, if you just go statistically by the numbers, it's probably better to have, you know, a healthy lifestyle, good infrastructure in place. And that takes, you know, sanitary eating conditions, and that takes care of a lot of, you know, potential situations where you would need a vaccine. So now if it was in the 1920s and there was polio everywhere, I mean, there are a lot of people who were affected or when you had the bird flu that was sweeping across Europe after World War I, and I had an opportunity to take a vaccine. I think for me, the risk reward would shift. I would get a I would polio. Hold on a second. I dropped it.
Oh, I'm still here.
You guys here? So it, to me, it really depends on the situation. Right now, I don't see, you know, any situation that would prompt me to get a vaccination. But looking back through even the last 100 years, there are pockets of time where the risk reward would have shifted and I would have decided, you know, I would decide to get vaccinated.
But that's my point. We don't live in that era.
Right. Yeah. So now I don't make that choice.
Diseases don't happen in an era when you live it, when you have clean water and healthy food.
Yep.
And which some would say we have neither today still, but that's another topic.
It's all relative. I mean, if you compare it, you know, obviously there are issues, but if you compare sanitation and, you know, hygiene to other times in history, I think we're doing okay.
Well, my thing is there's no basis of analysis. When they claim the vaccines, you know, wiped out this, you know, that they go back to the peak times the century ago when sanitation was very poor, and they say, look at what the vaccine did. But if you go and look at the actual statistics, these viruses outbreaks were all on a huge decline throughout the 30s, 40s, 50s, and vaccines didn't come into be mainly until, you know, 60s, 70s. So
yeah, and it would have been nice.
It was not there. The numbers were already at bottomed out on a
maybe because
on
the strain that I've seen. You would have to do some more research on that, but maybe the strains that, you know, because I think you sent over a chart on, was that on measles? I guess we haven't dug enough into what the strain situation looked like. You know, if they were researching for years and years and found a good vaccine, and, you know, who knows if you look after when that vaccine was implemented, it's low after, but who knows, it could have come back up after too, right? You don't know that there is a possibility to jump right back up after that. You know, on that measles chart you just saw, it flatlined. But let's say
any
there wasn't
regression
one.
Analysis would show that that line is staying flat.
That
something
you don't
dramatic
know that.
Would have to happen to have a spike up.
But you don't know that. I mean, you're just like you're saying,
yeah,
you have
but
no proof.
We also but don't, have, we also don't know that vaccines ever did a damn thing.
But I'm. You understand
when
what I'm
people,
saying?
What I've always heard that this measles scare is from vaccinated individuals that contracted measles from the vaccine itself and then gave it to other people. So patient zero was a vaccinated individual that worked at Disneyland. And then they sit there and blame people that aren't vaccinated when in the same year the flu vaccination that is released is completely ineffective, and countries all over the world have had massive adverse effects. They banned the flu vaccine in these countries, and yet America here, our CDC still recommends, even though it's worthless, they still recommend taking it. If that's not in bed with pharmaceutical companies, I don't know what is. So to ensure that they at least make their money back, and I'm sure they're still making a profit on the flu vaccine. And lone wolfish is that I've constantly heard of people that get the flu vaccine and then get the flu. And who's to say that the vaccine didn't cause in the first place, which causes the flu outbreak on a year-to-year basis. But anyways, but my point it was earlier, Eric, about if you have an – say your kid comes down with autism and you are convinced that it was from the vaccines that your kid received, you cannot go after the producer of the vaccination. Mm-hmm. Our government in 1986 set up a private court system with no judge, no jury, that is their own private system behind closed doors. They do not allow the media in, and all the information is sealed. Very little gross totals is the only thing that I've heard that you can get of specific ideas, but you cannot get the details of the cases or anything. And in America, where we're supposed to be transparent and free, where they passed a bill in 1986 saying that you cannot go after a pharmaceutical company for harmful effects of a vaccine, and then they set up a court system that pays for damages that is completely hidden, and then these damages are paid for directly out of taxpayer dollars. They do not even come from the pharmaceutical companies. So therefore, our government allows these pharmaceutical companies to make billions of dollars of profit, and the government quasi-mandates it. Everyone, the consensus usually is that people think that they have to take these vaccines without really knowing the facts that they can deny it. and then when something happens, your only recourse is going into a government agency that backs taking vaccines in the first place, and then has to pay out damages itself, and it's all behind closed doors. And I think the total was $2.6 billion so far paid out behind closed doors. And I don't know if you guys have heard that. I would think, Eric, you have from the clips, but mm-hmm. Did you guys know anything about this, that you cannot go after a pharmaceutical company, that there's a complete separate court system you have to go through?
Well, it makes sense to me.
Why?
I mean, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but... Well, because I think that, you know, when you decide, it's sort of like, you know, taking Viagra and then getting a heart attack. I mean, can you go after the pharmaceutical company for that?
Yes,
no,
you can.
Because they list side effects. Like, you have to make that decision and say, like, here's the potential risk, here's the potential
Viagra
reward.
Viagra is not a vaccine. It's a medicine. It's a
I've watched a lot of daytime TV, and daytime TV has a whole bunch of commercials on there that say, you take this drug that caused cancer, and so call us so that we can sue these people for you on your behalf.
It's
a total different aspect of the medical industry. But on the purely vaccines, that you cannot go after the person that is responsible for the damages or the entity.
But I feel like it's more of, you know, each individual saying, what do I think the potential risks are? What do I think the potential rewards are? And then making their judgment accordingly. You know, like, it's a risk. Do you want to take that risk? You know, and you bear the burden of that.
My aspect, it just shows the crony capitalism that we live under, and the fascist state we live under, and the corporatism all lumped into one conglomerate that's a complete mixture that's so alienating of a republic that it's disgusting, and supposedly a republic that believes in individual rights and pursuit of happiness and general liberty, and it's just disgusting. That's why it should be a given that it's a choice, and it should be a given that you can choose to take that stuff, but also that those things have risks, and then to say that you bypass the risk, that, oh, that's fine. It's like signing up for Facebook or something, and, all right, yeah, I accept the term and conditions, and, find out later, everything I say and do, every picture I put on there is owned by Facebook now. You know, so, all right, fine, that's the law. You know, you signed it, you knew what the consequences were, it could have been, but it's a positive law bullshit litigation system that our government has created, and it's just disgusting to me. And I think that this vaccinations it really riles a lot of people up around the world, because they firmly believe that this caused, you know, damage to their kids or irreparable harm. And it wakes people up to the form of government we really live under, that it's not even close to a free form of government, and that is way more tyrannical than it is liberty-minded.
So I do have a little bit of a kind of just a counter to what you're talking about. In order for me to do that, I must.
When in doubt,
consult the Book of Knowledge.
Back. Hello?
Did you drop everyone?
Yeah, by doing that.
You probably didn't hear it. No, I have reverb.
Did you hear my little jingle?
Yes.
That didn't work too well. So anyways.
I'm sorry. Were you doing something for my benefit there?
Reverb's gone.
Okay. So there is a court set up called the Vaccine Court. It was set up in 1986. It's a part of the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. You can file with that court for a $250 filing fee. You can receive a reward from manufacturer of a vaccine of up to $250,000. Filing a claim with the Court of Federal Claims requires a $250 filing fee, which can be waived for those unable to pay. Medical records such as prenatal, birth, pre-vaccination, vaccination, and post-vaccination records are strongly suggested, as medical review and claim processing may be delayed without them. Because this is a legal process, most people use a lawyer, though this is not required. By 1999, the average claim took 2 years to resolve, and 42% of resolved claims were awarded compensation, as compared with 23% from medical malpractice claims through the tort system. There are legal time limits for filing claims. As with any benefit program, eligibility requirements seem unfair to some applicants. But it's higher than medical malpractice if you're able to document harm, physical harm, because of a vaccine. So there is a route through the federal courts where you can receive compensation for injury due to vaccination from pharmaceutical companies. What do you say about that, Kirk?
Who do you think wrote this?
Are you saying that it's not true?
he doesn't like that counter.
No, I don't think it's not true, but I'm still questioning its effectiveness. I mean, it's good that there's a court system in place, but is it very effective?
Well, it appears to be twice as effective, or the success rate is twice as high as traditional medical malpractice claims for, you know, various complications because of health procedures.
Since 1988, the program has been funded by an excise tax of 75 cents on every purchased dose of covered vaccine. That's crazy.
But it is there.
So
there is legal recourse in place. So it's not a situation where, because you said earlier, you can't sue pharmaceutical companies for vaccinations, whereas you actually can.
I still don't think it's true. I don't think you can. I don't think you go through your defendants.
There's a National Childhood Vaccine Act that was signed into law.
I'm just trying to find this where you're reading this.
So there is some recourse there, and obviously there's been precedent for this, and so you're not completely SOL if you have issues because of vaccinations.
If we were to take this, go ahead, Danny.
Shoot.
These awards total about $847 million. So I guess that's pretty, that's a lot of money, I guess. So,
yeah.
And this might be kind of a surprising take, but from a liberty perspective, I mean, I think that the responsibility really, I mean, unless, you know, it relies with the individual that chooses whether or not to take that vaccine. I mean, I think that we've seen ourselves become extremely litigious over the past several decades, and it's all about, you know, I took a risk myself, but it didn't pan out well because of you, so let me take it to the court. And I want to get my money. I want to get my payday because something bad happened to me. But, and don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, people that have really, you know, like, you know, that's up to them. But myself personally, outside some really severe, consequences to, you know, that to my life, I think that we kind of have to weigh, the risks associated with our decisions. And if we knew the risks, on the front end, we knew that it was a possibility. It's not really, I mean, I don't think it's my place to sue someone when I knew damn well that there was a possibility that could happen. If somebody tells me like, hey, here's a vaccine. It'll make you, you know, invincible, but there's also a chance that you could die. I'm the one that's playing Russian roulette. I'm the one that's deciding I think it's worth the risk. And I don't think we should jump to be so litigious. If those risks are clearly stated, honestly, and that we know what we're getting into and we're making, you know, we're able to make that informed decision.
Yeah, I think you're expecting people to have personal accountability, and that's completely unrealistic.
but also, I think to a certain extent, the role of government should be to protect individual rights. That's its core, in my mind, core tenet. You know, you should obviously have, you know, maximum liberty, but when your rights are infringed upon, you know, in this case, you should have recourse. And there is recourse here. An interesting, you know, thing I picked up in looking at this Wikipedia article is out of, what is it, 5,263 claims relating to autism that were filed between 1988 and 2008, 11 are all except for one were let go. One claim resulted in actual compensation. Which, I don't know.
Interesting.
That's, I mean, you go through, I mean, according to what I've read here, you go through, you know, they ask for substantial medical documentation, vaccination documentation, and, you know, go through, there's no jury, but out of, you know, out of that amount of claims, only one was compensated. But I would guess that most of these people, 5,260, or actually, what's the total amount? 5,263 claims related to autism, 2,865 non-autism were submitted. That's not a huge amount. That to me doesn't, you know, that doesn't scream of over litigation. I think most people, when this happened, they're, you know, like anyone else, are like, well, what legal recourse do we have? And, you know, obviously none of us on the podcast tonight knew of the vaccine court. I doubt that many people are aware. And, you know, as they get a lawyer, you know, like, well, what can we do? Here's our avenue. Do we have, you know, do we have a credible case that will be, you know, will be reviewed? And then they make that next step. That to me doesn't scream of, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people taking that route.
Right, not in this particular avenue. I just meant more of like a philosophical.
Right.
If we're talking about what do we do, sure, about this, I mean, I tend to say, you know, we should give individuals, you know, the freedom to decide whether or not they want these. I think that, you know, people should have the information available to them on what the realistic risks and possible benefits are so that they can make an informed decision about what they want to do, and really putting that more in the individual's hands.
Kirk.
Yes.
Think we should roll a clip?
Sure.
Both time.
About time. What clip?
Why don't we listen to Jacoby Jackson, see what he's...
Jakari?
I still want to go back to what I was talking about earlier, but I know that would, but it's up to you. It doesn't matter.
We can listen to Jakari and maybe go...
Jakari.
go back to that. Here. That was the Conan O'Brien clip.
Yeah. This is Jakari Jackson for Infowars.com. I'm a big fan of the Conan O'Brien show, and he recently decided to get in on the vaccine debate. Let's take a look at this clip.
Daycare, we've created a safe environment for all children, vaccinated and unvaccinated, to grow together as complete equals.
And I like Conan, but as a fan of his show, when I saw this, I just couldn't help myself but make a video about it. But before we get into my opinions and just flat out facts that I will present to you in a moment, let's ask a doctor what he thinks about the situation.
So how do you convince me? How do you convince the other parents out there that we need to do this?
Campbell, I'm going to get it.
Yes.
If that helps at all. But I'll tell you, my wife is not going to immunize our kids because I've got four of them. And when I go home, I'm not Dr. Oz. I'm Mr. Oz.
So you heard it right there. When he goes home, he's not Dr. Oz. He's Mr. Oz. And his wife said, I'll be damned if you vaccinate my kids. Now, let me be very clear. When I talk about vaccines, I don't think vaccines are inherently evil. I don't think that medication in general is bad. But if you read these vaccine inserts, you'll see that they can cause harmful side effects sometimes that are more severe than what the illness was itself that you were trying to get vaccinated from. And we'll go over those documents in just one moment. But since we're talking about Dr. Oz, let's do a throwback, a flashback to when he vaccinated Piers Morgan.
He seems like a completely competent doctor, but and I don't understand any of the, you know, the kind of biological aspects of the, you know, of the meds that.
But we're both doing the maths, aren't we? We both saw him put that thing in my arm, and
yeah,
within 10 days, I'm just struck down.
And that clip is for everybody who says, well, if vaccines are harmful in any way, why don't we see people on TV talking about it? You just saw somebody on TV talking about it. And Piers Morgan isn't the only one. That was the influenza vaccine, but they also have the HPV vaccines that Katie Couric talked about on her program.
Right before eighth grade, my doctor convinced my mom to give me Gardasil. He said it was supposed to prevent cervical cancer.
He highly encouraged me to get the vaccine, even though we had no history of cervical cancer in our family.
So I ended up getting all three shots, and then after each shot, I got sick. After the first two shots, I was sick for about a week each time. And after the third shot, I got sick without getting better.
She was nauseous, and she had severe headaches, and she couldn't get it out of the bed.
But that segment got Katie Couric in some hot water. As you can see, Katie Couric's show on HPV vaccine sparks backlash. The people who get a lot of funding from the pharmaceutical companies weren't happy about that at all. The segment included personal stories from two moms who claimed their daughters suffered serious harm from the vaccine. One of them died. In addition, the show featured two physicians, one who researched the vaccine and thinks its long-term protection benefits are oversold, and one who recommends them to her patients. And once again, if vaccines are harmful in any way, why don't you hear people on TV talking about it? Another person on TV talking about it. But let's talk about vaccines in general. I got several here. I got meningitis, I got influenza, so we'll go over some of these inserts and share them with you guys. And this is the influenza insert provided to me by the Walgreens Pharmacy. Possible side effects. Let's see, we have back pain, chills, shivery, cough, diarrhea, general body discomfort, headache, irritability, mild bruising, pain, redness, swelling, or tenderness at the injection site, mild fever, muscle ache, sore throat, stuffy nose. Severe side effects. Burning, numbness, tingling. Decreased movement of the facial muscles, decreased movement or sensation in the arm or shoulder, fainting, loss of appetite, muscle weakness, seizures, severe or persistent headache or fever, vision changes, vomiting, which sounds to me a whole lot like the flu. So, I mean, maybe they're playing semantics here, but it sounds like all the symptoms you can get potentially from the flu shot are just as bad, if not worse, than the flu itself. Decreased movement of the face muscles. Yeah, I never had that from the flu, and that's just one of them. We also have meningitis, a very popular vaccine for college students. Side effects include severe allergic reaction, very high fever, or behavior changes. Signs of allergic reaction can include hives, swelling of the face and throat, difficulty breathing, fast heartbeat, dizziness, and weakness. So once again, if you choose to vaccinate yourself or your kids, that's your business, but I think you do have a right to know these facts about the vaccines that they will not tell you in these late night joke sessions. Let's move now to a hepatitis vaccine. The adverse reactions include, but definitely are not limited to, a fever less than or equal to 100.4 degrees and 9.1 cases after the first dose or 11.3 after the second dose, which is to say about 10% of the cases you could potentially catch a fever from taking this hepatitis A shot, but of course they don't want to tell you that. Once again, you know, I'm not against vaccines, I'm not against medicines in general, but I think you should educate before you vaccinate, and if these things concern you like they do me, definitely take that in consideration before you go get stuck. We'll end tonight with this, my favorite part of Conan's video, and it's always my bewilderment that people who are vaccinated are always so concerned about getting the disease, getting the virus from somebody else who is not vaccinated. So in this end clip, you'll see a child have their, you know, bubble punctured, and now they have to eject them from the school system, even though all the other children are vaccinated. And logically, the unvaccinated child should not be a threat to the other healthy children. You can find more reports at Infowars.com.
And in the event of danger, Kind Hearts has procedures in place to keep your beautiful children safe with minimal disruption. Kind Hearts Daycare.
Yeah, I think a lot of what's gone over in that clip, specifically Kirk, you mentioned. For me, I think I kind of said the same thing. I don't want to get sick from the, you know, from the whatever you're getting from various vaccination shots. So choose not to do it. It's a good point, right?
Yeah, I don't see the need, and I don't think there should be anyone telling me that I should be forced to get a vaccination.
Ethan.
It goes directly against the Constitution with the right to travel.
Just a heathen.
Heathen.
Travel into, you need to heed the advice of the government. They care about you, Kirk. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Is that time already?
Danny, was there something you wanted to add right now?
Yeah, Danny. Let's hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much just agree with all you guys and, you know, pretty much just kind of like, yeah, screw whatever, you know, screw whatever other people say. And, you know, I take the liberty stance and, you know, just fuck everything else.
Right, Danny, that's a good way to wrap this one on up.
Hello, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. This has been Liberty Southwest podcast number, what is it, Eric?
It is
46. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's been Eric Taylor, Danny Ning, Kirk Pettis, Chelsea Como, and myself, Matt Winter.
Peace out.
Adios, mofo.